Bickley and Murata. Social studies.
Time for everybody's favorite subject of the day at social studies. Sarah Cazell. Oh in the little glass box. She's a freak. Get her a cold one.
I am gonna look. Oh, can someone get me a cold one? Actually, that sounds incredible. Yeah,
two.
Make it a few.
Two, Utah. Two.
What's
up, Sarah?
How are you guys doing?
I didn't want Bick to be the only raspy voice host on this show.
Thank you.
You're generous.
It's still sounding good, though.
Yeah, you're hanging in.
Your voice is stronger.
It's getting better. Yeah, I was a disaster on Monday.
You've got a vocal edge to you.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, are you doing the tea and honey situation?
Oh, heck no.
Oh, come on.
Come on, man.
So you're just going to talk for
Sarah,
5 hours?
It's bourbon and ice cubes, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Share.
Hi, Sarah. Sorry for that stupid introduction.
No, you're great. Welcome into social studies, everyone. We need to laugh right now because it's looking dark, at least in this very moment. For Arizona sports fans, please do follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. That is where young Jesse will spew absolute nonsense questions that make no sense, and then he has to delete them and republish them.
I think that's the first time I've ever had to delete and republish. Maybe second.
Congratulations.
Better than Jarrett.
Such a low bar here. Bickley Murata show. Better than Jarrett? God.
Yeah.
Can't we do better than that? All right. Welcome on in, everybody.
The limbo bar.
Please do follow us at Bickley_Murata. We will be better. First, we're just asking for your initial reaction when you heard the Chris Paul news. We've actually got four little different angles for you to vote on, but of course you can just share what's on your mind. Let's start with these four angles. What was your reaction? Was it, ugh, not again for Phoenix, not again for Suns fans? Was it, man, not another postseason injury for Chris Paul, or issue for Chris Paul? Was your reaction, it will all work out, it will all be fine, or I am just worried about game one whenever that happens next week?
Of the four listed, my first reaction was not again for Phoenix. Mm-hmm. That wasn't my overall first reaction. My first reaction was picking up my phone and going, oh, wait, I got to go on two different radio stations to talk about this before I even wake up. Yeah, that was my first thought. I've gone through basically all of those, but the first one was not again for Phoenix.
Okay. Mine was this bizarre mixture of utter disbelief and utter belief. And of utter disbelief and, of course, this is happening. It was really, really weird.
Yeah.
Utter disbelief and utter belief. Dan Bickley, I just want to take your words and put them in a bow.
Thank you.
I love it.
Now, Flex from Jersey gave this update. I it sounds good. I have no idea what he's talking about. Quote, just spoke with a league source familiar with NBA COVID protocol and CP3 case who confirmed this situation is as optimistic as you could hope for due to curtain medical thresholds regarding viral load. This is why the Suns are waiting until Saturday for official update. What does that mean?
Okay, so that means he's not at risk for spreading it to anybody else. If the viral load is low enough that you can't possibly give the virus to anyone else, is a good sign.
Okay, good.
And that is what the vaccine is supposed to achieve.
Right.
Because we could still technically carry it, but if my viral load is so low that I can't pass it
on to
you...
How low is it?
How low?
It's lower than the bar on this show!
Yeah, right. That's good.
Well done, Sarah.
Thank you.
Look at that. Right.
So, yeah. So that's
witty
so
remarks
that is a good
and an answer as well.
Hey.
Well done.
She does medical
Sarah the
advice.
Ruthless.
She does jokes. Okay.
She corrects Jesse's inane tweets.
She corrects Jesse. She'll correct anybody who will let her. All right. The response most popular, 56% of our voters. Oh, man. Not again for the Phoenix Suns. That sounds about right. 26%, though, optimistic. It'll all work out, they say. 9% say not again for Chris Paul, his injury of being injured or his history of being injured or out during the playoffs. And then 8.8% say they're just worried about looking ahead to game one. Moving on to our next. Oh, first, I have to get this response in from Burns and Ladmo. His first response was, I need the Suns in four guy to put me out of my misery.
By the way,
we've got
some Suns and Four guy coming up for you on the program.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, let's go.
He's not joining us per se, or par se, according to Gilbert Arenas.
Not a felon par se. gosh. Speaking of words, I want to just put in a bow. Amazing. All right, moving on to our next question. What promise would you two make to the sports gods to ensure that Chris Paul is healthy, ready to go, ready to play in game one?
Ooh.
Anything. What promise would you
make? That's a thinker of a question. I tip my cap to young Jesse on that one.
That was my question.
Oh, was it? I tip my cap to you, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, Jesse.
I promise to stop complaining about the Suns' bad luck. How about that?
That's a good one.
I would promise. Wow.
You want me to read a few off?
Yeah, please
okay,
do.
We've got some great replies. Kyle Martin says, I would stop my prayers that the Arizona Wildcats lose every football game from now until eternity.
That's good.
I wouldn't be willing to do that.
Adam Walt says, have we not already sacrificed the Diamondbacks?
Oh, goodness.
Here we go again, says, I will never call LeBron LaFlop ever again. Actually, I take that back. I cannot make that promise. Stephen F. would promise a Disney World trip for his wife's birthday.
Oof,
that's a sacrifice. And Cindy Snyder says, no booze till they lose.
I could go.
So I think
could,
she's just rhyming there.
I could probably go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give up the beers, the liquor.
I don't know. I mean, we're just talking about that doesn't guarantee the result. I want Chris Paul to be healthy just as much as anybody does,
yes.
But it doesn't guarantee a result. I'm not giving up booze for that, no.
Okay.
They win the title? Maybe.
This is
after one epic year-long bender, I would give it up.
Let me celebrate. I'm having my fun first. How about this one? Tweets by Denton says, I would be okay with U of A sweeping ASU in every sport for the next decade. That's all to make sure that Chris Paul is healthy and ready for game one. Not that the Suns win the title. That feels like an overcorrection for an ASU fan.
It does. Yeah.
But as an Arizona fan, I'm totally fine with that.
Sarah would love this.
I would be great with it. Go ahead. Sports.
It's the only way it would ever happen.
Oh, please. Yeah, we'll talk about ASU football later, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
All right. Moving on to our final question. Devin Booker did not make the All-NBA team. Chris Paul, a second team All-NBA player for the second year in a row, but still nothing for Devin Booker. He finished 10th in voting among guards. That was from Kellen Olson yesterday. So we are asking, do you believe that Devin Booker should have made one of those three All-NBA teams? And if so, is there a guy specifically that you think he should have replaced?
Yes. Yes and yes. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker, we talked about it yesterday. I think he was worthy of mention, probably a third team inclusion. And if I'm picking somebody, I'm going right to the guard position and I'm saying, Kyrie, sit this one out, buddy.
Yeah, that's a good guy to take off the list. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I think Kyrie, probably one of the more popular replies. Pretty much everybody responded and said, yes, he definitely should have made it. Kyrie Irving, let's see, Devo Williams points out Irving missed 18 games and most of them willingly. Was that this season?
Yes, it was.
Oh my gosh. That feels like 5 years ago.
Yeah, when he was stressed out at the beginning of the year.
Oh, that's right. That's
and I think Kyrie got rewarded by a lot of the voters, too, for kind of being the guy that held that together. Because the storyline, especially after they got Harden, was these guys are never going to play together.
Yeah.
At that point, Kyrie was the most available of the three, and I think he got credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets, their number two seed in the Eastern Conference was just enough reward for that. I don't think you needed to reward one of those players for that, and I think Devin Booker should be in that spot.
Mm-hmm. How about this? From Big Poppy, he says that Book should have replaced Steph Curry, who couldn't get his team to the postseason.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. No, I think that's too strong. I think Steph Curry, we're not talking most valuable player here. We're talking all NBA, and Steph Curry deserves to be there.
He was almost a unanimous pick.
And I know Kawhi is a wing. I know LeBron's a power forward who actually plays point guard for the Lakers most of the time. I don't think either of those two should be on it based on their games played this year.
Mm-hmm. Julius Randle, looking back again, Julius Randle gets a lot of mentions as well, as does Bradley Beal.
Yeah. Yeah. Bradley Beal had a great season. Julius Randle had a great season. Mm-hmm. I don't have issue with them over Devin Booker. I just look at Kyrie. And again, I know that these guys aren't necessarily guards, but LeBron played 45 games. Kawhi played 52.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler would be the other guard that you could pluck out of there. Jimmy Butler did not have a better year than Devin Booker.
Yeah, Butler gets mentioned a good bit as well. Well, that's my final question for you guys.
Okay.
So all right.
Oh, okay, sorry. Fine. Sarah Cazell takes us through social studies every day at 1 o'clock. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
you can get involved on Twitter at @Bickley_Murata is where all the fun happens. Coming up next, got to start to get to the bottom of this ASU recruiting story that's starting to surface. And we'll talk to a guy who wrote about it for The Athletic. Doug Haller joins Bickley and Murata next. Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah, you didn't only wake to the Chris Paul news this morning. You also probably awoke to, if you care about such things, an investigation that the NCAA is investigating or is conducting on Arizona State football for possible recruiting violations. Doug Haller from The Athletic wrote about it, and he joins us now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Doug, it's been a while. How you been, man?
Good, good. I appreciate you guys filling some airtime on this slow news day.
right. That's funny.
Obviously, you know, this is all new, fresh information. There's not a ton of information, but if you could, just tell us how we got here.
Well, I started maybe 3 or 4 days ago. There was a guy tweeted out something from Los Angeles that, you know, a major story was coming in college football. And within, I would say, maybe 2 or 3 hours, I started getting text messages from all different areas saying that this was going to come down in Arizona State. Now, the number of things I heard, Vince, were all over the board. And it was one of those things where you quickly dismiss. Like, no one cares about that. That's not a big deal. That doesn't even make sense. But once I started making phone calls, everything came back to Arizona State possibly having recruits on campus during the COVID shutdown. In last March, when everything got crazy, the NCAA said no contact recruiting, no recruits on campus. That lasted for 15 months. And a lot of people were saying that Arizona State indeed had violated that rule. So it was just a matter of finding out, you know, calling the right people, contacting the right people, trying to figure out who you can trust, and kind of going from there.
Yeah, very, very well done, which is par for the course for you, Doug. Tell me about how this looks, especially for a guy like Herm Edwards, who had such a great reputation after coming to ASU. When you're talking about a football team that dealt with a COVID-19 outbreak that was about as bad as it was in the country, where there were cancellations, it seemed, on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that was my first reaction, Dan. I'm like, this was a team that was hit as hard as just about any school in the country. As you mentioned, they were shut down for nearly a month. They played only 4 games, had only 2 games. I'm like, surely, you know, they wouldn't have had recruits on campus violating this rule when they were just, you know, just hammered like that with COVID. You know, and maybe once the NCAA investigates, they'll find out that maybe it was just, you know, one coach had, you know, a few recruits for a weekend, didn't realize that he was violating a rule or whatever. Maybe it's that. I do know that there's a lot of smoke out there that's a lot bigger than that. We'll have to see how that goes, but it's just from that standpoint, it's a bad look, one, to break rules, two, but when you go through something like that, and not only that, but, you know, Herm Edwards had COVID,
yeah.
You know, he tested positive. He talked, you know, he was very open about, you know, people need to take this seriously. Every time he talked to the media about it. So, you know, in the wake of all that, you know, in addition to the possible rule breaking, it's just a bad look.
Doug Haller from The Athletic, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. I've seen a lot in terms of the smoke that you were talking about, you know, about maybe related violations that are being alleged. But just focusing on what you wrote about today with the breaking of the COVID protocol in terms of recruiting, if ASU's found guilty in this, what kind of penalties are we talking about potentially, Doug?
That's a great question. I've been asked that a few times today, and I think it depends on what kind of scope we're looking at. Mm-hmm. If it's just, you know, like I said, if it's Arizona State has, you know, some young guys on their coaching staff, and I'm not pointing a finger at them, but, you know, what if, you know, a coach just had, you know, somebody in, you know, for a quick, I don't know, a quick tour of the facility or whatever. You know, if it's one weekend, that's one thing. If it's over several weeks, dozens of recruits, sure. Then you're kind of crossing into the institutional control area. So I think that would probably be the worst if it gets to that. I don't know. I am fairly certain that this is not the only thing that the NCAA is looking into. Like I said, I've heard a lot of different things that we're exploring and trying to confirm. As you guys know, when you hear things, sometimes things take two or three confirmations, and that's kind of where I am in that process. But I would think that's probably the high end of it, is just that, you know, lack of institutional control thing. And then you have to, you know, ask, like, what did Herm Edwards know, or was this kind of without his knowledge?
I thought that was one of the more fascinating elements of the piece, where you got two different responses to the idea of Herm Edwards. Would he know about something like this if it were happening? And one person told you no way, and another was just the exact opposite. You never know where to fall in a situation with a head coach. Generally, you know, they create plausible deniability in most circumstances. They give themselves reason and route to deny things. But Herm is also in a different role than most head coaches in Division I football.
Yeah, you're right. I got different answers to that. And Herm has kind of, you know, he was kind of brought in as that CEO type coach. Now, he is on the field. He's practicing. He's hands-on on the practice field. But he does lean on he gives his assistants freedom to do their jobs, no doubt about that. And I know with recruiting, he has leaned on Antonio Pierce, his recruiting coordinator. You know, and I've asked, you know, I talked to, you know, a dozen people yesterday, and, you know, some, I didn't get the question out, you know, any chance Herm knew about, and it's like, no way. But some people weren't so sure. You know, they said that, you know, he may not know everything, or he may be in a situation where he is smart enough to realize that he doesn't want to know everything that's going on. So yeah, that's kind of an interesting area right there. And then, you know, you can always argue that it's the head coach's responsibility to know exactly what's going on in the program at all times, you know, which is, you know, we've seen that before in the state with, you know, what's going on in different places with different programs. But that's something that will, I think, resurface as this unfolds.
Big picture, excuse me, Doug, big picture for ASU football is, and since Herm Edwards has been here, and he has been leaning on some brilliant recruiters like Antonio Pierce, we haven't seen the recruiting success during the Herm Edwards era translate over to wins. That being said, when is the clock ticking on that to happen? Because everything's lining up talent-wise this year for this to be a special year for ASU, but would you call this a pivotal year in the Herm Edwards regime?
Well, the clock has definitely started now. Yeah, without question. And I think last year that everyone kind of thought going into last year, when you get a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. You have a window to do something, to compete, to win a Pac-12 title. And I think going into last year, they felt pretty good about their chances. And, you know, last year was such a crazy year with the COVID and the stoppage and all of that. This year, though, I mean, if you look, they have pretty much the entire team returns. I mean, they lost their center. They lost Frank Darby. Everyone else, as of right now, is back. And, you know, you've seen it reflected in preseason polls. I mean, they're getting a lot of preseason love as far as being a Pac-12 South favorite. So, yeah, I mean, this is their year. I mean, Jane Daniels isn't going to be on this campus forever. If he has a good year, he might go. He might leave for the NFL. But, you know, now I think things are like this is year four for Herm, and I think he would admit that it's time to make a jump.
All right, so here's my last question, Doug. And Pete Thamel wrote about this following up your piece in The Athletic and athletic.com. Earlier this month, an anonymous person sent a dossier of dozens of pages to ASU's athletic department. It included screenshots, receipts, pictures, and emails. My question is this. Isn't this really brazen to think you could get away with hosting recruits on campus in a pandemic?
That was, I've asked several people, like, could you get away with, I mean, what are you taking them out to see the Sun Devil Stadium with the athletic director's office overlooking the field? I mean, what is the purpose? Could you get away with having recruits on campus? And I was told that, A, you have to remember that during COVID, there weren't a lot of people on campus. You know, a lot of people worked out of their homes. A lot of times the football facility was locked. Obviously people have ways to get in there, but I was told that pretty much if you wanted to find a way to get, you know, recruits to show them around, to do whatever, you could do it. And also, you know, you have to remember the football facility is separate from the rest of the athletics office, mm-hmm. two totally different buildings. So if they wanted to do it, there's no doubt that they could do it. But that was my first, one of my first questions is, you know, and then the other thing is, you know, what are you going to accomplish? You know, kids are recruited by several schools, and to kind of think that they're not going to talk about this.
Sure.
You know, college football coaches love to gossip about this type of thing. And, you know, it's that's what's going on right now. Yeah. No one has a lot of sympathy for Arizona State.
No.
For what they're doing. And, you know, you could argue that probably this happened a lot of different other places, but, you know, right now the spotlight's on Arizona State. And if I had to guess, I think it's going to be on Arizona State for a while.
Yeah. Doug, great stuff on this. We appreciate your time and your insight today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you, Doug Haller from The Athletic. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Coming up next, not only has the Suns and Four guy been located, he's spoken, and his legend continues to grow almost a week later. We'll tell you about it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the homepage at arizonasports.com. Was Devin Booker snubbed from the All-NBA roster? You bet your sweet bippy he was. That's not one of your choices. Yes or no?
Yes.
We both said resoundingly yes. 82% of our respondents to this point agree that Devin Booker got the snub. Only 18% say no. You can make your feelings now by casting your vote in today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
You know, I turn my head for a second. I hear, you know, watch out. There's beer being poured on my head. My jersey's being tugged. And once someone puts their hand on my and my body, like, I feel threatened and instincts kick in. So I'm starting to defend myself, and I'm pushing them back, telling them to leave, like, get away from my face. And, you know, then obviously you see the video of Edgar is what people like to call him. Eager Edgar, you know, throw the sloppy ass sucker punch. And yeah, I mean, the rest is pretty much history. You know, just because I had the crowd initially on my side made everything just so much more perfect.
There he is. The Suns and Four guy. We did not get him on these airwaves.
No.
But the Pardon My Take podcast guys, Big Cat, PFT commenter at Barstool, they did get him. They're also selling Suns and Four guy shirts on Barstool Sports.
Yeah.
So it's turning into something. But there's, you know, where it started. Again, I saw another view, another camera angle that came out yesterday of everything that went down. That you can clearly see the beer being poured on his head.
Yeah.
And I commented on the thread, our work thread on it. It was like, every time I watch this, it gets more damn heroic.
I agree with you. I did not know, because until I saw the most recent video, I didn't know that dude started it by pouring a beer on him. I didn't even know that I had heard that happen, but I had never seen that. And it does get even more heroic. You're right. I totally agree with you.
He also talked about, and you heard it in that first soundbite, his name's Nick McKellar, by the way, but he will forever be affectionately known as Suns and Four guy.
Yep.
From now until the end of time. But he also talked about how in that clip, there were some Nuggets fans, you know, that were on his side. Here he elaborates on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, when I got escorted out by the cops, I had four other Nuggets fans come out to me and talk to the cops. But, like, I have a lawyer giving me his card. I have other people saying it's all self-defense. Like, so, I mean, it was pretty cool. Like, I'm obviously not banned from the Nuggets stadium. And, you know, I the most important part is that I and the people that I love are, you know, are safe.
No charges pressed either.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Listen, and again, it's to me, this is something that this guy is going to have a special place in Suns lore. It is a video that I have called a guilty pleasure. I can't stop watching it. It just, to me, it's funny because they asked him, hey, would it be cool if the Suns flew you out for a playoff game?
Oh, yeah.
He's got a very specific ask. This guy's a trip, man.
Yeah.
My goal is, like, if I can go to the game, which would be epic, is just to shoot around with the boys. Like, that's all I want.
That's kind of a big ass. I thought you were going to say, like, I just want four seats for me and my friend.
He wants to shoot around with shoot around with the fellas.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. So he called the guy Eager Edgar. Yeah, listen, it's again, I'm not trying to glorify or condone violence in the stands of a sporting event, but if ever a cat had it coming to him, it was that Nuggets fan.
Yes. That's my reaction that grows every time I watch the video, is that not only does this guy, Nick McKellar, the Suns and Four guy, look really cool in all of this.
Yeah.
He was basically doing society a favor.
Uh-huh. Yes, he was.
And the film that I saw yesterday, from the angle I saw, the guy filming it was a Nuggets fan, but he's yelling, yo, beta.
Mess him up. Yeah. No, because even Nuggets fans were not digging those two guys. And
I had read in the thread, because I didn't do much over last weekend other than bask in the Suns' victories. But I was reading on that thread, somebody had like a 4-tweet thread about these same two guys, Eager Edgar and his buddy, who did nothing to help him, by the way, great friend, they were causing problems with Portland fans in round one.
Mm-hmm.
And this fan that tweeted this was saying to his buddy, both Nuggets fans, man, I hope those two dopes don't show up to this series. And
really?
They showed up.
And those two dopes, even making the story even more funny, when they released a video from the parking lot that night claiming that they had messed up Suns and Four guy, it's, what a couple of idiots.
Alternate reality, man.
Yeah, what a couple of idiots.
Here's one more from Nick McKellar from the Pardon My Take podcast. Just the reaction that he's received, especially from Devin Booker reaching out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a roller coaster of emotions, obviously. It's been pretty wild. So I'm still trying to process everything. The last thing I thought was me being viral in a video, you know. So, I'm just trying to take it step by step, you know, just being chill with it. But, yeah, you know, Devin Booker reaching out, his team reaching out is pretty epic.
Yeah. You never know when you're going to get famous.
Yeah.
And for what you're going to, in these days, for what you're going to get famous.
Yeah. So I hope he sells a lot of T-shirts. The Suns and Four tagline is what makes it priceless.
Yes.
You don't expect a guy who just got done pummeling someone to make that the hammer home message.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it'd be, I told you not to mess with me. Instead, it's Suns and Four. Suns and Four. Remember that. Suns and Four. It's the best.
It actually happened.
And it happened. It's just one of the best things. It's just great.
Can we have him beat up just another random fan to make a proclamation on what's going to happen? Because apparently what he says happens. When he was discovered on Instagram, mm-hmm. the lowest number of followers that I had seen on his Instagram account was 682.
Yeah.
He's up to 29,100 now.
That is outstanding.
For doing nothing more than just pounding a fool at a basketball game.
Yeah, yeah. And but like you said, it's heroic because dude dumped a beer on him.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, Suns and Four guy, you know, he grabbed the guy. They wrestled a little bit. Then he let him go. Kind of like, okay, you know what? I'll deal with you yo-yos throwing beer at me. And then that Nuggets fan, that smarmy look on his face, and then, as he said, a weak-ass sucker punch. Sloppy.
Which it was.
Yeah, it was. I saw something funny yesterday. There was an actual data that 98% of the time, the person with the higher ground wins. Like you said, those two guys are banned from life by Nuggets fans.
Hope it was worth it.
Yeah.
But at least they got to claim their own victory on social media.
Yeah.
Nobody saw what happened. Dopes. Coming
up.
Oh,
my goodness. Oh, no.
What?
This is great. Somebody just tweeted us. Suns and Four guy is now on Cameo.
He's going to rake it in.
Oh, is he ever? So if you want a personalized video from Suns and Four guy,
what's it going to run?
He's there for you. Let me just find out. Let's see what this dude is cost charging. $24.
Very, very affordable. And divisible by four.
I'll get one for Dan for his birthday.
That's funny. $24.
Cash in, man. Cash in. Make this last as long as you can. We are all for it. No doubt about it. Coming up, final thoughts and maybe another honor for the Hail Mary. When it's all said and done, we'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Zona's Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta. Song of the Day.
Pick up a little bit there. Young Jesse had suggested the Limbo song. Like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. So we got a song called Limbo.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with Chubby Checker?
I'd rather hear Royal Blood than Chubby Checker.
Same here. Thank you.
No offense to Chubby Checker. Had a wonderful career. And plus, we need more Royal Blood on the show, don't you think?
I'm cool with
it. I like them.
Yeah,
you like them?
Yeah, I do.
It's a lot of music for two band members.
And one of the more intense videos I've ever, music videos I've ever seen.
And of course, we're making this reference because of the reference of the low bar being a limbo bar for social studies on some of the questions there. So, yeah, got a little Royal Blood in your life.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a little snippet of today's song of the day.
Bickley and Marotta going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
Yeah, I know we just talked about it, but here you go.
Hey, Sons and Four here. Listen, I appreciate all the love and support you guys have been showing me. Hit me up for a cameo. Let's talk. Sons and Four.
$24, not bad. I'll bet you he's going to get lots of orders from Suns fans.
He's got one review so far, and it was a 5-star review that just said thank you.
Yeah,
not thank you for the cameo, but probably thank you for pummeling that fool in the face. The Hail Mary obviously was one of the most talked about plays in all of sports last year. Let's relive it, shall we?
4-point lead for Buffalo, 11 seconds to play. Murray, out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray hits it downfield. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous. It's Murray magic.
That, of course, is the CBS call, Ian Eagle, on the play-by-play. It would become known as the Hail Mary that played to beat the Buffalo Bills. Was it the play of the year? That's the question that's being asked because it was nominated today for the ESPY, for play of the year.
Wow.
One of three Phoenix sports-related nominees of the 16 that
is
were
that
named.
Right?
Yeah. One of them was Shea Petty in the wobble last year for the Mercury hitting that corner three to eliminate Washington.
All right.
And the other one, Cardinal fans probably won't like, DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker on the interception.
That was unbelievable.
In a game that was still won by, it was so weird. The Cardinals beat the Seahawks finally on their home field, and it was a huge win at the time. And that's all anybody was talking about nationally. Did you see DK Metcalf chase down Buda Baker?
But again, that's kind of the thing that always transcends in sports. When we as sports fans see something that we have never seen before, that always kind of trumps everything else. And that we've never seen that.
Yeah.
A guy run that fast to track down a fast player.
Now, we'll see Hail Marys, maybe not as beautifully done as the Hail Mary was. I'd vote for it for Play of the Year. And yes, I'm biased.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us a lot to talk about on that Monday after that Bills game, no doubt about it. We used to do, for longtime listeners of the Bickley and Marotta show, we used to do a segment called What's on Your Mind, Whereas just basically me complaining about what was bugging me.
Yeah.
I found it to be not very therapeutic, but can I bring it back for a sec?
Oh, please. Yeah.
I brought this up to you earlier. This is unbelievable to me. In 2013, I ran in an obstacle course race called the Warrior Dash.
Wow. 2013.
It's one of those mud obstacle courses.
Yeah.
I did it with friends, and it was fun. These people who take pictures, like the photograph company that takes pictures for that event, still religiously emails me anytime a special occasion comes up. Hey, it's Father's Day. Maybe you want to buy these photos from that race that you haven't bought photos from for the last 8 years.
That's ridiculous.
I think they finally wore me down. I think I'm going to buy some photos now. No, I'm not.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. There's
you get on a list, you never get off of it.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
That is that. That's worth ranting about. Yeah, I mean, if you really wanted those pictures, chances are you would have bought them by now.
Yeah.
How'd you do in that race, by the way? You finished?
I finished.
Okay. Covered with mud?
Covered in mud, head to toe in mud. It was fun. The next race I ran, obstacle course,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't mud, but it was all inflatables. And that's the obstacle course that I first suffered my hip injury.
Which
is still not good. So that's, I think, seven years ago for that one. Yeah. Obviously, the big news today on this show, and it will be the big news on Burns and Gambo as well, is the news you probably woke up to today, that Chris Paul was in the health and safety protocols in the NBA. It's since been learned. Gambo was one of the first to report it, that it was a positive COVID-19 test. Chris Paul is away from the team right now. The Suns released a very, very brief official statement saying there's no update coming on Chris mm-hmm. Paul's condition
nope.
Until Saturday, which is June 19th, potentially the day before Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. So for much different reasons, but the goal is still the same. Suns fans, tune in tonight and don't root for the Jazz. Don't root for the Clippers. Just root for them to go as long as they can.
That's what it is. Buy some time for Chris Paul is what you have to do. I'm a little encouraged by our guy Flex in Jersey, who, if you put the pieces together, the viral load in the positive test is low enough where not only is he not at risk to give it to anyone, it should allow him to reconcile and resolve it, I would hope.
Hope so.
Yep.
That's an optimistic tone.
Yep. And there's been more and more confirmation that Chris Paul was indeed vaccinated, so that's good.
Yeah, Matt Barnes said it too on The Jump on ESPN today, that he had spoken directly to Chris Paul, and he confirmed that the vaccination had happened. So it's not a great story,
no.
But there's a lot of optimism around it now, and if anything else breaks on that, I'm sure Gambo will be on it on Burns and Gambo. By the way, they will also have Suns general manager James Jones on today at 3:30, and I'm sure that will be a topic of discussion.
Yeah.
Came up briefly with Monty Williams in his media session today, and Monty's not going to say much because he can't say much.
He can't.
There's nothing to talk about.
Right, that's exactly
right. But he also did talk positively about the spirit in practice. Suns are still in a really good place mentally. And they're still, outside of Chris Paul, enjoying this week-long rest that they earned by taking care of their business in Denver.
Yep. And so it's going to be a tough 3 days, because I know the inclination is to worry and to worry and to worry and to assume the worst because we're Suns fans. Maybe it won't be the worst.
Will the Diamondbacks snap the streak tonight, Bick?
Who are you talking about?
I actually watched a good portion of that game last night.
Oh, did you really?
Yes. And when it was 7-0, I didn't feel comfortable, and I was right in those feelings.
Wow.
Mike Yastrzemski with the grand slam in the eighth.
Tonight
would be the tire, the all-time record, 22 in a row on the road.
Go for it. If you're going to do something, go all the way with it.
Go big or go home.
Right, exactly.
Thanks to Gambo, Dave Pasch, Doug Haller for joining us. Thanks to you. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.